Bible which are difficult to deal with. And some of them, in fact, are so contrary to what God seems to want us to do, that when we meet people who are not Christians, we have to have an answer for them. And I think one of the most famous ones is the fowl of Jephthah. He made this vow. And think of that. Made a vow to the Lord and said, if you would indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, that whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, so it will surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Now this is not God, is it? God doesn't want human beings to be sacrificed. But yet, from this scripture reading here, it would appear that this is what is going to actually happen. And there are a lot of people who are lose their faith because of just this one piece of scripture. It's amazing because they cannot come to terms with the sacrifice that is to be made. Now, the person who actually came out to meet him was his daughter. And because he was successful, and in his return, he was riding back, and here she came, this young girl, to meet her father. So first of all, let's just get some background as to who he is. He was one of the judges and served for about 6 years. His rise to fame wasn't marked with all good things. He actually was a rogue to start off with, but he became a very just man at the end, and he led the children of Israel. He lived in Gilead and was a tribe at the tribe of Manasseh. Now, the Israelites at this particular time had upset God. They had started to worship false gods. So he allowed, as he often did in their history, the local tribes to conquer them and to put them into captivity. Now, we must remember that captivity in this sort of situation doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be put into chains or have walls put around them. What it actually meant was that when they grew grain, they had to give a whole load of it to the enemy, and if they had money, they had all that to go. So when they were in captivity, they were becoming very, very poor, and they'd have to work a lot harder. So God had actually put them in, and the Philistines and the Ammonites were the ones that God chose to put them into captivity. Now, he actually defeated the Ammonites, and he made this vow that if God would give him the victory, then he would do what he vowed to do. And he led the Israelites against it and against the Ammonites, and because of his vow to God, did he actually sacrifice his daughter? Now, this is the question that comes up in your mind. We must have all asked this sort of question when we read this. There are some books and parts of Judges that none of us like to read because they don't seem to be in tune with God. So this, in fact, as far as we know, would be a complete violation against all that God said, because the commandment says, I shall not kill. So this would actually be, I know that he's saying sacrificing her to God, but it would be murder. So murder is prohibited. And now there are two methods, as far as the children of Israel were concerned, for burnt offerings. Because this is what he was going to do according to the scripture. The first one was the one which they often slipped into. And this was the burnt offering to the god here, Molech. And Molech, as you can see, had the head of a bull, and had his arms outstretched to receive the gift. And if you look at this, you can see that, in fact, inside the bottom of Molech is a furnace. Now, Molech is actually made out of metal. So Molech will be red hot. And it's got his arms outstretched. And the sacrifice is usually a child. No record could I find of an adult. Generally a child. Now, why children? Well, one part of the worship of Molech involved prostitution. both male and female prostitution. Not a very nice religion. And no contraceptives in these days, so a lot of the prostitutes would have babies, unwanted babies. And there they are, offered to Molech. So what the person would do is they bring the sacrifice to Molech, put it into his arms, red hot, and the baby would slide down into the furnace below. And that would be the burnt offering. Now, while they're doing this, there's lots of noise. Tambourines, trumpets, all playing to shield the worshippers from the scream and cries of the baby. So that's the one method of burnt offering that would be able to be used by the children of Israel. But God forbids this. In Leviticus, he says that you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. So a burnt offering of a human, whether baby or adult, is actually going to profane the name of the Lord. Now, he would have known this law. He was a very intelligent man. He was a leader of the people. So he would have been fully aware of what was being said. He would have classed this as a barbaric practice. And the other thing is, it was usually babies. It's going to be a bit hard to lift up an 18 or 19-year-old girl and put her into the arms of Molech. So, and this, the opening for the baby to slide in would have been too small anyway. So it's not going to be. Now, how do we know she was grown up? Because a little later in the story, she laments her virginity. Now, if we just go by the maturity of girls, if we go back about 100 years ago, then girls would generally mature, go through puberty, round about 16 or 17 years of age, quite much later. Today, that has been much more reduced. Most girls go through puberty around about 12 or 13. And if you work in a girls' school, you'll realise just what that means when the hormones start changing around girls' bodies. We know that they're going to go through this very difficult time. So she would be a mature woman if she is concerned with her virginity. So she would not have been offered in the process of being offered to Molech. The other method of burnt offering involves the sacrifices in the sanctuary. Now, for that to be performed, the victim has to have its throat cut and the blood collected, as you can see here. And generally a priest is involved. If he's going to sacrifice his own daughter, he'll say, well, he's not a priest, but then the priest would take over from where he left off after killing her. And then the altar burnt offering would be used for the portions of the sacrifice. But the thing that's concerned here is that no priest would take part. And he would not be allowed to use the sanctuary anyway. And because God had prescribed exactly what could be sacrificed, he prescribed the animals, sheep, cattle, doves, but no humans. So he would not be able to use this particular method of burnt offering. So we now have a dilemma of what is going to be the answer to his vow. So he does say here, for surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Now, the problem we have here is the way that the translation has been done. And translation is very important in Scripture because a lot of people start to put hold on to certain words. For instance, when Christ said, today, I'll see you in paradise, depends where you put the comma, whether it's I say to you today, or whether I say to you today. You know, it depends where the comma is. Well, it's the same with this. And the word that's the problem is this word and. Because the word is and is in fact the Hebrew word can actually be translated as or. Doesn't always end. And there are about 20 places in Scripture where this exact same Hebrew word is translated as or. Now, why the translators chose to use and on this particular one, I have no idea, but it is quite permissible to use the word or instead of and. And if we do, this gives us a much better translation of the verse itself. And it comes here, whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Two choices. Alright, it's not a single statement anymore, it's two choices. So, it consists of two parts. He would either dedicate it to God, or, if it was unsuitable, could have been an animal, could have been a sheep, could have been anything that came out to meet him, then in this case, he would offer it up as a burnt offering. So we now have that Jephthah did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. Now notice the emphasis here is not on death, but on virginity. She knew no man. Now why, if she was to be sacrificed as a burnt offering, is this idea included here? So he is in fact dedicating her to Jehovah. And this was something that the Jewish economy frequently did. Sons were dedicated, and so were daughters. And they would be there wholly, there to serve, in whatever capacity they can, in the temple. So she was going to be forever, I suppose the modern equivalent would be a nun. Someone who is never going to be married, but is fully dedicated to serving God. And we can get this confirmed, because if you read on into the last part of this particular episode, you will find that it actually confirms it when you read it. She says, "And she said to her father, 'Let this thing be done for me. Grant me 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains to be wailed by virginity, my companions and I.' So she departed with her companions and bewailed her virginity on the mountains, returned to her father, who did with her according to the vow he made. She never slept with a man." So this young lady was not sacrificed in the form of a burnt offering, but the father sacrificed her by giving her back to God so that she could serve him. Now, when you look at this, there's nothing to be ashamed of, and there's nothing to worry about, because, in fact, this is all still showing God to be a loving and caring God. The thing, of course, you learn from this is, we should, when we ever make a vow to God, we should be willing to carry it out. No matter what happens, you know, we make a vow and it may not go the way we expected it to go, as he didn't. Once we make a vow to God, then we should be willing and always able to carry it out.